Open it up to a little Old Testament prophet by the name of Habakkuk in the first chapter. I'm going to get there in just a moment. Father, thank you for your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit in this house, even now as I speak in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen. As Nicole said in the announcements, there's some great Bible studies through the week. Men, we got you covered. Everybody, there's a Tuesday prayer. The sanctuary is open on Tuesday morning, 6 to 7 a.m. Men meet out right out through that door, 7 to 8. The best oatmeal anywhere in the world, especially if Jim Booty gets his hand in it. The best oatmeal. And then Wednesday nights out back, Monday nights the ladies out back, Thursdays during 11 to 12. Is that right, Chris? 11 to 12. And then Thursday night back here again. We got you covered. Got some things for you to be involved in. It'll be a blessing to your life. We're living in a trying time in our country and even in the world. And the enemy really has set out to try to take away from us the ability to see what he's calling us to and what he's bringing us through. And tragedies, they're happening all around us. We're hearing another just a terrible shooting this week. Just evil. Just pure evil that's taking place. We were reminded in the news of the evil atrocities that this nation has been a part of for several decades. And when somebody took a covert video of a Planned Parenthood person talking about selling baby parts from the abortions that they have committed, over 500,000 abortions in the last couple years alone in our country. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be wiped out already. Don't think twice about that. And I was in the our nation's capital earlier in the week. I was invited to be a part of the National Night to Honor Israel. And listening to the stories of the Jewish people and what they had put up with and the pain that they had been through. And I was reminded the next day as I walked, I had a couple hours and I walked through that city, that all, even with everything that's going on, we still live in the greatest country in the world. We are the envy of the earth. And men and women gave their blood, gave their family. As I look at those memorials, I went and I walked down through the National Mall and I came upon the World War II memorial, and it does something to you. And you see the Washington Monument and come up on that Vietnam War Memorial. I can never go to that without just sitting down and weeping. I lost my brother while he was in active service on his way home on leave. And it hurts me. And those young men and women that have given their lives, and even recently in the last few years of Afghanistan and Iraq and all the things, the people that are giving, these young men that lost their lives this week in Tennessee, serving valiantly for our country. And here they do it, each one of them, in a heartbeat. And we should never lose our gratefulness and thankfulness for that in our American politicians. They don't always get it right. And I want to encourage all of you, lower the level of the animosity, whatever side you're on, look at the facts, have a Second Chronicles 7:14 attitude. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, God, he'll hear from heaven, he'll heal their land. That is what we need more than anything. We don't need to set up bunkers in our churches and our communities, and we're against this and we don't like you. I mean, I got some friends that are very liberal, and I like them, and I say, and I tell them, I shake their hand. We can be friends. We disagree on this point, but can't we be friends? We don't have to hate one another just because we disagree. I happen to have some convictions that may be wrong, may be different than theirs, but that doesn't mean that we got to hate one another. Am I right up in here today? And so we have to always make the right decision and the right choice. And no matter what you think, well, that's human rights. The Bible has something to say about what is right and what's wrong. Whether you really agree with it or not, at the end of the day, this is the manual that we will live and that we will die by. So you can have any opinion that you want. You're free to have your opinion, but the book is right. Some people say, well, we have the right to abort our children. You do have a legal right, but it's morally wrong. It's wrong. And if you've had an abortion and you're here, nobody condemns you. The grace of God will help you, forgive you. And I want to help you through that process. But there is a better way. Amen. Am I making my point clear on that today? Is that all right? Because I want you to see your destiny. I want you to see the purposes that God has called you to. I forgot. Here, we got a table in the back as you go out with some old CDs and cassette tape. How many of you don't know what a cassette tape is? Let me see your hand. Paulie Lemondoli, you're lying up in that sound booth. I've got a 2001 from Tom Tipton. I'm giving these away. I've got a 2001 from me. I got a 2002 church dedication. I got a Dr. Kevin Lehman here from 2002. I've got some CDs. I even got one of my son, Ben, from 2004. I got one from Aaron on attitude. She's an expert on that. I've got one. She's on vacation this morning, so I can pick on her. 2005 that I did Extreme Home Makeover. Those are free. And then the ones you got to pay for, Danny Gokey, The Raw Truth Recharge. Some of you need to start to learn to eat better. And then Kelly Tuff from Aaron and Jill Kelly that were here a few weeks back. What a powerful night that was. Help yourself to those. They'll be a blessing in your life. And I've been talking about destiny robbers for a few weeks. The first week, I shared about holding fast to what is good because it's so easy to be sabotaged by our past that we never go to the destiny that God has for us. We have a propensity sometimes to live with a lack of consistency in our life, and we also live in fear. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not given us the spirit of fear. If you're here today and you're afraid, you got to hold fast to what is good and don't let the enemy steal your destiny because he's captured you with fear. And the second week, I talked about the atmosphere, that God responds to atmosphere. He's everywhere, but he does not manifest his presence equally everywhere. You need to hear that this morning because sometimes we engage and allow encounters in our homes and in our families and in our lives that are unproductive for the power of Christ to move in. Some people say, well, how come God isn't doing this for me? What is in your atmosphere? If we were to walk into your home today, would we hear worship music playing? Or would the television be blaring? Would the magazines and the things that were in your refrigerator and in your cupboard be inappropriate for the manifest power of God to be displayed? Oh, you can amen me if you want to. The Bible says that God, in Psalm 22:3, he inhabits, lives with the praises of his people. And last week I talked about out of Mark chapter 5 and verse 21, a rabbi, a temple leader by the name of Jairus, who the Bible says he had a sick daughter, and he went to Jesus and he said to Jesus, if you come and put your hands on her, she'll be healed. And Jesus went, and as he went, a woman stopped him with an issue of blood as he's walking down the street, touched him. God healed her through the power of Jesus. By in the same time when Jesus was doing that miraculous work, the mission that he had sent out to go do by healing Jairus' daughter, she had died. And that's always a perplexing thing, that we wonder why God doesn't do things in the time frame that I had hoped and anticipated that he was going to do them in. And boy, if you were here when Danny Gokey was here, he's talking about how his first wife had a heart. And they were praying and believing, and he knew that she was going to be healed, only to find out that one day he got the word that God took her home. That's a powerful, and you can listen to that message online at any time at thecitychurch.com. But we got to get to Jesus, and he doesn't do everything in the time frame that we anticipate him to do it. But we can't let that take away from what he has for our lives, because sometimes when everything is falling apart, things are actually falling into place. And all these stories tell of experiences in people's lives that the enemy and the things of the world come to steal our destiny. They come to steal our joy. They come to steal our future, and they're destiny robbers. And God wants us to move past that and keep our vision on to what he has called us for and what he wants for our lives. And sometimes you're not going to have somebody that's going to encourage you when you need it. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Sometimes you got to see. Proverbs 29:18 says, the message, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. I don't know about you, but that's been me in my life. I stumbled all over myself because I wasn't seeing what God was doing. But it says, but when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. You got to see and open up your mind and your heart what the Lord wants to do. In Acts 2:17, it says, in the last days, and we are in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people, your sons and your daughters. That's why I love to see the young kids get up. I call them young kids, Ryan and Shandy and Danny Huntington. I love to see it because your sons and your daughters, they'll prophesy. They'll declare the word of the Lord. Your young men, they'll see visions. And then, praise God, old men, we're going to dream dreams. I wonder if that's because we're napping more than we used to. I don't know. But there's an end time clarity that comes in the story from Habakkuk. And I'm always amazed at how relevant sometimes the Old Testament is with where we are in our own life. And Habakkuk, he was a prophet. He was a seer. And he's wondering what God is doing in this time frame that he is at. Thousands of years before where we're at right now. And all of these things are happening. And God responds to him in this way. And look at this in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 5. And I'm reading this out of the New International. He said, look at the nations and watch. And be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe it, even if I were to tell you. Now, if you were to hear God say that, you'd think he was going to just begin to pour out all kinds of good things and blessings. Look, he says, I'm raising up the Babylonians, who that's present day Iraq and Iran and Syria. He says, I'm raising them up. What? He says, I'm raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to see dwellings not their own. They are feared and dreaded people. They are a law unto themselves, and they promote their own honor, what they want. Listen, you think that is present day. The radical Islam religion of the world that many would like to say doesn't exist, exists. And they are in America, and they are wanting to pronounce Sharia law in our country. In fact, they get on the news and they said Sharia law will be the law of America. And they believe that by these killings and these terror attacks, that they will cause people to be afraid, and they will push them into a funnel to cave to what they feel is right. But there must be a people that will stand up and say, we will serve the Lord our God. We will stand for God and righteousness. And this country was not built on anything other than the blood of Christ. And the people that signed that declaration, they did it with the power of God in their hand, in their hand only. It wasn't anything else in here. But God says they're feared. They're a law unto themselves. They promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour. They all come intent on violence. And this week, after a well-meaning administration strikes a deal with a nation who has been against America for years now, the Ayatollah stands up after America shakes their hand and says, this doesn't change our posture for America. Death to America, death to Israel. You and I need to pray that God will have his way in America. But God says, look at here. He says, I'm raising them up. Their hordes advance like desert wind, and they gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings and they scoff at rulers. Can you believe that? That sounds like I'm talking about what's happened in our land in the last few months. They laugh at fortified cities by building up earthen ramps, and they capture them. And then God says all this to Habakkuk. He says, because I want to show you something in Habakkuk. And this is where we can look and learn just a little something from where we need to be today. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1, I'm reading out of today's English version. He said, I will climb up. Here's Habakkuk's response. I'm not going to retreat. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to be in fear. He said, I will climb up into my watchtower and I will wait. Look at this. And he says, I will look to see what the Lord will say. That phrase just caught my attention. I will look to see what the Lord will say. You mean I'm going to listen? No. He said, I'm going to look. I'll tell you that in a minute. I'll look to see what the Lord will say. And then the Lord gave me this answer. Write down. I'll reveal to you so you can read it at a glance later. Look at this. I want to just give you these five things. This is what we do in the time that we're in. We don't want the enemy to steal our destiny. I'm not giving up my children. I'm not. My son's in the hospital this morning. He's going to rise out of that. He's going to be strong. God's going to use that in his family and his children in our life. We're going to be stronger. Gabe's going to go on a mission trip before long. We're going to do the work of the Lord. We're going to serve him. Look at number one. He says, I'm going to withdraw. He said, I'm going to go up into the tower. I'm going to climb up and I'm going to get away. We got to find a place where we can get away from the noise. Too much noise. Sometimes we need what I learned in a course that I took one time called balcony time. You know, if you go to a play, whether it's in Buffalo or you go to New York City or Chicago and you're blessed enough to get into that and you get up into the balcony, you see things from a whole nother perspective. If you're on the floor all the time and you're with all the people and all the noise, you see at one level. But when you get higher, you look down. You need some balcony time. That's why he said, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get higher. I'm going to withdraw. I'm going to get into a place and I'm going to get to a place where I can have a spiritual moment with the Lord. The Bible says in Luke 5:16 that Jesus would withdraw and go to a lonely place and pray. You got to learn to get that habit in your life. If you're going to make it through the season that we're in, you must do that. And then he says, I wait. And you know our culture values busy. Hey, how you doing? Oh, busy, man. Oh, I'm so busy. You never go up to somebody and say, hey, how you doing? I ain't got nothing to do. Nobody says that. But we got to learn to wait. And I thought, interesting, Ryan, in the first service, he said, we need to wait on the Lord. Sometimes we get so, we got to have everything moving right at once. Doing one thing. What are we going to do next? Now what? You got to learn to wait on the Lord. Hurry is the enemy of prayer and God's plans for your life sometimes. The Bible says in Psalm 62:5, let all that I am wait quietly before the Lord, for my hope is in him. And then we got to read God's word. This is what he says. I'm going to look to see what God says because he has already spoken it in his word. Stop listening for a voice and start looking for a verse. Read the word every day. Don't miss it. If you do, pick it up again the next day. Get it on your phone. I said in the first service, when I was on the farm, I had a pair of bib overalls. I used to wear bibs. I still do when I'm home. I like bibs. And I used to have a little pocket Bible. Keep right up in the front pocket. Every time you get a moment, I'd be milking cows. I'd crack it open. I think I still have one of them little Bibles. It's got some manure on the inside of it somewhere. It's a good remembrance. Read God's word every day. And then he says, write it down. Write it down. You got to write your dreams. You got to get a bucket list. What is the things that you believe in God for your in your life to do? Don't just get up every day, you know, que sera, whatever will happen will happen. Write some things down until you write it down. And then you can begin to believe God. And it might not always be the right thing. You might look at it 6 months later and say, oh, that was that pizza that struck me the night before. That's what I wrote down there. But you'll change. You'll hear the mind of God. And then he says, review it so you can read it at a glance. Look what you wrote down. Cultivate it in your heart so you can move in the direction that God's plan is calling you to do. Because you got to see what God wants you to do. It's not enough for someone else to say it. It's not enough. I love the testimonies. But if Chris is the only guy in the house with a great testimony, come on, we don't have it. Ephesians 1, 17 says, keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know him better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. So when you get it, everybody is going to share in it. And I want to just close with this Old Testament story. This is so powerful. In 2 Kings chapter 3, this is a story where the Bible says, kings were gathering together to set out and come against someone who was coming against them by the name of Moab. In 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9 says, the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. Three of them together. And after a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no more water for themselves or for the animals with them. So here's the story. Three kings together, their armies, and they're going around. They're pulling an Old Testament story from Joshua. They're going around 7 times and nothing happened except they ran out of food and they ran out of water. Hate it when that happens. And the king of Israel says, what? Has the Lord called us three kings together only to hand us over to Moab? And then Jehoshaphat asks, he says, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord through him? And an officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. Look at this verse. He used to pour water over the hands of Elijah. Elisha poured water over the hands of Elijah. That's an important verse to some of you young, up-and-coming preachers. You'll never see the best that God has for you or do the greatest until you learn to pour the water over the hand of the mentors in your life. It's a great act of service. And that's how they distinguished who Elisha was. Well, he's a prophet. Not because he had prophesied great things. It said because he poured water over the hands of Elijah, his mentor. And Jehoshaphat's, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, what do we have to do with each other? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. I don't want nothing to do with you. I'm busy. No, the king of Israel answered, because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to hand us over to Moab. And Elisha says, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not even look or even notice who you were. So he had this fondness for Jehoshaphat. I wonder why. Jehoshaphat was a man after God in a great season of his life. But look at what it brings it to. They go to the prophet. They go to the man of God. They need a word from God. Help us. What do we got to do? Do you know what the first thing they said? You know what the first thing Elisha says? He said, bring me a harpist. Bring me a musician. And while the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. Listen to me this morning. Some of you need to hear this. You've gotten lazy in your acts of worship towards the Lord. You come in late to church because you don't like a song. I tell you what, not because he's my son. I thank God for Ryan. Do you know, listen to me. I've never paid Ryan a dime for what he does. I've never given him a penny. Since the days when he was a young boy, we were in the Y. And he'd get old Leroy Beats to pick him up. At Saturday night, pick him up. He didn't just get up here. Because he's my son. Leroy would pick him up, take him to the Y. They'd set up chairs in the YWCA. We didn't just move into this building and decide to have church. For those of you, we started in our home. Then we went to the YW. We'd go in there. They'd have things hanging from the ceilings and people would come in. They'd set up that church on that Saturday night. Sometimes he'd come home late. I thought, he's up there. They're doing drugs or drinking. I know it. I told Patty, I said, honey, I'm going to go up there and catch him. I know something's up. I go up in there. He's having a worship service up there. He couldn't even talk to people. He couldn't look them in the eye. And he's up there worshiping the Lord. oh my God, I thought, God, I couldn't ask for anything greater. We need a minstrel, somebody that will bring the song of the Lord. And Elisha said, bring me a harpist. Bring me somebody. Bring me a Rufus that will play, a Debbie that will play. Amen. And when they pray, the Bible says, the hand of the Lord will come upon you. You're struggling in your life. You're going through all these things, and you never avail yourself to the beautiful presence of the Lord. What's the change? You're mad at other people because you don't get what you want. You're mad at God because he's not doing this or that. And when the presence of the Lord is here, you don't even realize it. He's in this place, even while I'm speaking. He says, I'll help you in the battle. But the first thing he did, you got to step away from the noise. And you got to get into the presence of, come on, are you hearing me this morning right now? Come on. Come on. Because answers are birthed in the presence of God. Answers. Look at what he says after that. Honey, bring me some Kleenexes now. I'm on a mess up here. Look at what he says now. He says, this is what the Lord says. Stay up here with me. You're so pretty. Get back over here. Hey, do what your husband says. I'm in the presence. Look at that. Come up here. Come on. Don't you want her to come up with me? Come on. Come on. Look what he says. This is what he says. After he's in the presence, the Spirit of the Lord comes on me. You know what he says? Make this valley full of ditches. Begin to dig. What? Elisha, you don't understand. We don't have any water. We don't have any food. Our boy is in the hospital. You want me to dig a ditch? That's not the answer that I'm looking for right now. I wanted so much to call somebody else up last night and do this service. I thought, I deserve it. My son is in the hospital, two different hospitals in 3 days. And God said, no, you're going to go and dig that ditch. You're going to go. They need a word from God. No hireling's going to come in and do it. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. He said, go dig a ditch. Make this valley full. Because whenever God wants to do something great in your life, he always requires a step on your part. Do you hear me? If you want God, he said to the man with the withered hand, he could have said, be healed. No, he said, stretch out your hand. He said to the man who was sitting next to the gate, beautiful, who'd been there and who was grumbling, he said, pick up your bed, your pallet, and walk. He said to the man that was blind, go dip yourself in the pool of Siloam. You've got to make a move. You've got to dig a ditch. Because our lives will go from inspiration to participation. You got to get involved. And then he says in verse 17 and 18, this is what the Lord says. After he tells him to dig the ditch, you will see neither wind or rain. What? That's what it takes to fill the ditch, right? Right? We need a gully. Well, we need a wash. We need the rain. He said, you're not going to see wind or rain. Yet the valley will be filled with water. You and your cattle and your other animals will drink. This is what he ends that verse with. He said, this is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he got away from the noise and he worshipped. Because he got himself involved. He did something that God told him to that had nothing to do with the issue at his hand. And God is calling some of you today to help somebody else, to do something, to serve in an area. And I'm sick and tired of hearing people say, well, how about me? When is the Lord going to do something for me? Come on, when you go dig a ditch for somebody else, God will fill the need that you have in your life. Come on today. Because you got to continue regardless of what you see. can't wait till you see it. You dig a ditch and he said, I'm not going to give you rain or wind. What? I need that. No, no matter what you see, what you feel, you got to know that your hand, that God's hand is upon you. He's going to fill that ditch up. He's going to heal your sick child. He's going to transform that broken relationship. He's going to set you free from the bondage of drugs and alcohol. He's going to raise you up to do something powerful in your life. And you don't have to live that way anymore. Because if God, come on today, if God be for you, who can be against you? Sit down. I'm going to close with this one verse. See what you do up here, baby? You bring it. You bring the corn, baby. You bring the corn. Stay up here. Don't leave. I got my stuff, my mojo going now. Don't mess me up. I don't even have this up on the screen, but if you, in Habakkuk, the last chapter, the last verses in the Bible, Habakkuk 3:17. This is what he said. This is what he comes to. He said, though the fig tree may not blossom, there may not be any fruit on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields, King James says, produce no wine. New King James says, produce no food. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. What's he saying? I don't have anything. All the work that I've done, I've given all of my God. I've tried hard. I've labored. All of that. I've even dug ditches. The preacher preached a message. Told me I've been out. I've been working. I've been serving. And Habakkuk says, even though I've done all of that, there's no herd in the stalls. Yet. Come on, somebody say yet. He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Listen, if God never done one other thing for me, he's done enough that I'll give him the praise until the day I see his face. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Thank you, Lord. Don't leave me. Get back here. Keep on trying to run away from me. I don't care. You're going to stay with me just a minute. Thank you, God. I want everybody to stand. I want you to close your eyes. Some of you, you got to dig some ditches. You got to get back at it. You're upset because of this and that. Listen, dig the ditch. Come away from the noise. Oh, I sense the anointing of God right now. I'm just going to open up the altar right now. If you're just feeling an unction in any direction, I just want you to come out of your seat and come on down here. Some of you, you've lost the joy of why you do what you do. You're going through emotion. You're going through a challenge. And He's been telling you right along, if you just begin to dig a ditch, just begin to serve, just begin to give your life. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ. You need to do that today. I want my prayer people to come down right now. I'm just going to open up the altar. I'm going to close. If anything that you felt God working in your heart today, don't sit where you're at. I'm going to close. These folks are going to pray with you, stand with you, believe God with you. Rise to a new place where he's called you to. Don't stay held down in your past. Don't stay held down in your failure. Don't stay held down in your misery. Come out. Let God do what he wants to in your heart and in your life. Don't be bound by an addiction. Don't let the enemy try to fool you and say, oh, it'll be all right. No, it won't. If you haven't given your heart to Christ, today's your day. I want you to slip out of your seat and come. I'm going to close in just one moment. It's going to be all over. I always think of that story in the Old Testament when God told Noah to build the ark. And everybody stood by and they scoffed and they watched But when the door closed, it was over. The door is going to close here in just a moment. For some of you, it could be your chance. You say, boy, Pastor, that's strong. I feel that in my heart. All morning I have felt to be strong in this. You don't need somebody to tell you what you want to hear. Sometimes you need to hear what you don't expect to hear. Father, today, I'm going to close 40 seconds. I pray today for my friends, my brothers and my sisters. God, you're hearing their heart. You know where they're at. And you're able. You, God, are able to do what we cannot do in our own strength and in our own will. So, Father, I declare unto your people today the best over their lives. For you to do in them what they cannot do in their own strength. Be Lord. Help us, God, to dig ditches so we can see the glory of God in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, and everybody said a great amen. Come on, one more time for the Lord. Amen.